Why can't I have a candy bar?
Cuz Opie and B said you gotta drink your mocha latte first. It's mocha latte time. Coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky. We have a great show coming up, exciting show. First installment of Bean Bowl series, coffee scene in Louisville, and next week's previews coming up. Nathan Slayball coming to you from the Flying Dutchman RV in Louisville, Kentucky this week. Always unscripted, always unedited, so if I say something that makes me sound like one crayon short of a full box, well, I don't edit it out, I put it right up there. You are listening to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World, where every week I come to you from a different town with that town's coffee scene, and yeah, the circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee, and so I'm always checking out what's riding my motorcycle around, checking out what's in town. This week, exciting things coming up this week. First off, I want to say Happy New Year to everyone out there celebrating Rosh Hashanah. It's the year 5767, and if I had a shofar, I would play it. I play the modern version of a shofar. I'm a trumpet player, so in the circus. So yeah, so Happy New Year to all you guys celebrating Rosh Hashanah. And this week we have the coffee scene in Louisville, Kentucky, which is the home of the Louisville Slugger and Muhammad Ali and the KOA, where we're staying this week. And also the Bean to Bowl series, first installment is this week. So exciting things. But I want to get right to the coffee scene first. There are 10 places that, I almost forgot. I have to, my weekly ritual, if you're tuning in for the first time, is I always drink espresso while I'm talking about espresso. I mean, there's nothing better, right? So I have right here my espresso machine, and the beans that I am brewing this week are Illy coffee beans. I got them in Savannah at a place, what was it called, Christie's Espresso. And so let me get that started here, and I'll keep talking. Probably hear the espresso machine. Alright, get that started. Uh-oh, why is that leaking? It's not supposed to be doing that. Well, I'm trying to avoid a small flood here. You have to bear with me. So, the steam valve appears to be, that might be why. Aha! Okay. Always make sure that your steam valve is turned all the way off, or else it will leak when you brew your espresso, as I just found out firsthand. So, okay, so we got the shots, and okay, well, this might be a record for my worst espresso ever that I've brewed during a podcast, so let's just say I'm lucky that it's not a video podcast, or else you'd all probably be laughing hilariously right now. So this week we are in Louisville, Kentucky. It's been quite the busy week. Got here, we had what seemed like a minor hurricane this weekend. It was pretty wet, which kind of made it difficult to get around town, and you listen in Louisville know what I'm talking about. But I did manage to find 10 places this week and review 10 places. So the first one we'll start out with was actually in Iowa. I stopped and visited my aunt and uncle, who kindly hosted me there for an evening in Wayland, and I stopped at a little place called the Coffee Corner in Washington, Iowa. And just quickly, I put, coffee in the middle of rural Iowa. It was served auto-to-go cup. They asked on whipped cream. It had loose foam, and you couldn't really taste the espresso. The chocolate was a little dull and a little dominant in the drink. Dull in taste, that is, but dominated the drink. Overall, it had a bit of a watery texture, so I gave that a 3.0 this week. And as always, my bean scale that I rate on is located on my blog site for this podcast, which is it's bestmochalatte.blogspot.com. And obviously you don't spell out dot, but in Polish it's krupta.com. Anyway, so so the Coffee Corner, a cool little place, and Washington is a small little town there in the middle of Iowa, and they definitely took time in the designing of the interior, very cozy, comfortable. Apparently it was an eatery that had gone the second generation owner, and they retired and decided no one was there to pick it up, so it turned into a coffee shop. So yes, that was in Washington, Iowa. Next up, in Louisville, Kentucky. Now the coffee scene, I have to say, is definitely growing here. There's a couple main players besides the bazillion and one Starbucks. There's the Java Brewing Company and Heine Brothers Coffee Company, and those seem to be the two main locally started coffee chains here in Louisville. There's also the Highlands Coffee, which has a few stores out as well. But I came to find that if you want coffee on a Sunday afternoon, you're going to be hard pressed to find a place that's open. There's only out of probably 15 or 20 places in the Louisville area, there's only a handful, maybe three or four, that are really open, have hours during a Sunday or even Saturday for that matter. But there seems to be a fair amount of coffee going on here. The first place I checked out was the Buzzworks, which is located right on Main Street when you come across the river into Louisville. And I wrote, where's the foam on this one? It was pretty much no foam, served auto-to-go cup. They did ask on whipped cream. It was an okay drink, but I'm not a big fan of chocolate in this drink. So it was a little chocolate heavy, but not bad overall. So I gave them a 3.6. And they're pretty much a kind of like a business kind of grab-and-go little place there. They do have free Wi-Fi. Very nice people, helped me out, give me directions to get there. So, you know, they're very nice people, but the mocha latte, 3.6. Next place was the Coffee Treat, which is right near, we played the Gardens this week in Louisville, and scary building, by the way, at Louisville Gardens, very cavernous in the dressing rooms. Anyhow, Coffee Treat, which is right pretty much across the little park there. I wrote, the foam had potential to be tight, but they just didn't knock out the bubbles there. Mediocre chocolate taste dominated the entire drink. Overall, it was just average. Served auto-to-go cup, and they did ask on the whipped cream, so I gave them a 3.1 at the Coffee Treat. And again, that seemed kind of more like a business, kind of business crowd grab and go there. The next place is Buffalo Madison Coffee Company, which is actually over in Clarksville, Indiana, right across the river. You have right near Louisville, across the river, you have New Albany, which is the hometown of one of my fellow circus trumpet players. New Albany, Indiana, and you have Clarksville, and there's one or two other like little towns there right across the river. So this place was in Clarksville, and I wrote here that they had loose foam. It was served auto-to-go cup. They asked on the whipped cream. The chocolate overpowered the espresso taste. So overall, it was a little unbalanced and needed a little more milk. But I mean, it was tasty in the mouth. So I gave them a 3.5. And I want to send a shout out to Jess and Sean, who I happened to run into one of the owners there, the coffee shop. And yeah, very nice people. Great little place. They have a couple coffee shops in the Louisville area, and that one there on. Oh my goodness, I can't remember the name of the road now, but that happens to be their first store there. So yes, next up, one more, and we're gonna go on to Bean to Bowl series, the first ever installment of the Bean to Bowl series, and start with Day's Espresso and Coffee. Now in Louisville, there's kind of two main roads where you have a lot going on, like bars, coffee shops, bookstores, what have you. And one of them is Frankfort Avenue, and the other one is Bardstown Avenue, the Bardstown Road. So if you're looking for something to do, those are places to go in Louisville. Day's Espresso was right along Bardstown Road there, amongst a couple other coffee shops. And I wrote here, I think I like this drink. It was served auto-to-go cup. They did ask on the whipped cream. It had tight foam, decent espresso taste, maybe a tad too much on the chocolate, but overall I would drink again. And they actually got the highest for Louisville this week. They got a 4.0. It's a shame they didn't serve it in-house cup. Might have been a little higher. But yeah, I mean, this was very close to being something pretty outstanding. So I gave them a 4.0. Now, before I go on, I'm going to take a sip here and see. Yeah, the espresso, this. Yeah, I think it's my grinder. I think I have to get a decent grinder, but my espresso this week is not, it's not very good, not very good. I'm a little disappointed in myself. But anyhow, now, the first ever long-awaited Bean to Bowl series. Bean to Bowl. Okay, that cracks me up every time I hear that, but I thought you might get a kick out of that. Okay, so I'm starting officially this week a series called Bean to Bowl, where we're going to explore a little bit of where coffee comes from, the history, how it's grown, how it's harvested, and over a matter of weeks, talk about how it's harvested, talk about how it's roasted, talk about the different equipment for grinding it, the different types of grinds, different ways to brew coffee beans, whether it be espresso machine, French press, drip coffee, and then what happens, the bowel part of it, which is what happens when it actually goes in your body. So this week, let me grab my notes here, you have to pardon me. This week I want to first off give you a little history about where coffee comes from. Now there's a myth. Mythological. No one knows if this is actually true or not. I have my own version. But the myth goes, there was a shepherd. And actually, no, he was a goat herd. Sorry, not a shepherd, a goat herd, because he was raising goats. So there was a goat herd, and he saw his flock on the goat herder is, the goat herd is Kaldi, is his name, from Ethiopia. And one day he was out about for a stroll, and, you know, just checking out the countryside, you know, watching his goats. And he came upon these goats that were nibbling on these bushes, and they were jumping up and down very energetically. It was almost like they were, I don't know, they just had like this crazy burst of energy. And he looked at the berries that they were chewing on, and so he tried some of the berries himself and found out that he had a lot of energy, say enough energy to go downtown and, you know, build a hut, and then build a garage for that hut, and then build a Flintstone car to park in the garage. So he found he had a lot of energy, and so word got around about these berries. And turns out these monks heard about this fruit on this tree, and they came and they got some of the berries and transported them back to some of their monasteries and put them in water, and ended up drinking the liquid kind of as a pick me up, I guess, for their prayer, so they could pray longer. And over time, this berry, which contained coffee bean, was transported to Yemen on the Arabian Peninsula, and where it was cultivated even more, and then it spread to Turkey, where it was roasted for the first time over open fires, and then their beans were crushed and boiled in water, and they had kind of made a crude version of coffee, and the rest goes on from there. It goes eventually it swept through Europe, and the Pope picked it up, and they tried to ban it, and the Pope's like, this is good stuff, we're not gonna ban coffee in the church. And so it goes on from there. There's a lot of history in early American history dealing with coffee. You know, a lot of the founding fathers talked about important political issues. During the Boston Tea Party, when they threw out all that tea, they had to drink something, and it turns out they drank coffee, as a matter of fact. So that is the myth. And my own myth, well, has something to do with Moses, and the burning bush was really a coffee bush, and on top of the manna, they had to have something, you know, to drink to go along with that manna, because I'm sure it made their mouths quite dry during that 40-year trek across the desert. So I'm thinking that burning bush was probably the first coffee tree, and so Moses was probably the first person to discover coffee, and that was their drink of choice for their time in the wilderness. But I digress, and it may not be any more true than the goat herd called him. So anyways, that's a brief history of coffee. Now, moving on to where is coffee grown today? Where is coffee grown? It's mainly in the, if you want to get a geographical term, you could say equatorial regions. In the regions of the equator around the world, that's pretty much the Tropic of between the Tropic of Cancer and Capricorn. There's really about 63 countries worldwide that grow coffee, and those countries range from continents, from places such as South America, Central America, Indonesia, Africa, and the Arabian Peninsula. And it turns out the leading producer is Brazil. They have, I think the next one after Brazil only produces like a third of their overall product. So Brazil is definitely the main supplier of coffee to the world. Now, so that's where coffee is grown. Now, how is it grown is, of course, the next logical question. It's grown through two species of tree. Now, you're saying, coffee, you know, that stuff that ends up in my cup, it starts on a tree? That's right. It starts, as a matter of fact, it starts in a berry, as part of a berry. Now, there's two kinds of trees. There's Arabica and Robusta are the two kinds of trees that produce coffee, the berries. Now, these trees, typical trees, can grow up to about 15 to 20 feet tall, but the farmers generally keep them around 6 to 10 feet, so that, you know, they're manageable for picking. Now, when they plant these trees, they can't harvest the berries right away. They actually have to mature. Any of you that have ever grown fruit out there probably know this, that, you know, the trees have to mature before they can produce anything, and coffee trees are no different. They, after about 5 to 6 years is when you can start, you know, harvesting a crop from them. And if they're cultivated right, if you give them good TLC and treat them as your pride and joy, they can actually last up to 20 to 30 years. for production. Now, I mentioned the two types of trees, Arabica and Robusta. The Arabica is very, it's kind of like the diva, I guess, of the two. It's very finicky about its growing environments. It needs to be grown between about 2,500 to 6,500 feet above sea level. For those of you on the metric system, that's between 4 and 7 kilometers above sea level, and it has to be an environment with a steady rainfall and about 6 inches of rain a month, so definitely a wet climate, and between 60 and 70 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about 15 to 21 degrees Celsius. Now, these Arabica trees, they also take more cultivation and care, but they account for 80% of the world's coffee product. You'll probably have noticed shopping for your favorite blend of coffee, a lot of times they'll boast 100% Arabica beans. And even though it's a blend, they say it's 100% Arabica, it can still be a blend of Arabica from around the world. So it can still be 100% Arabica beans. And one side note, that the Arabica beans do have less caffeine than the Robusta beans. Now, on the other side of the coffee tree spectrum, hill, what have you, we have the Robusta. And they can grow from sea level and above, and it's a very hardy, disease-resistant plant. It has the beans though from this plant have a pretty bitter taste, and they have double the caffeine of the Arabica beans. So, but it's usually used as a filler bean in most blends, especially by the mass producers that you see a lot of times on the grocery shelves that aren't specialty coffees. They use a lot of the Robusta beans in there. So you have Arabica trees and Robusta trees. So that is our first step this year in the Bean to Bowl series. Next week we are going to talk about the process of how it's harvested, how they call them the berries or the cherries, how they're harvested, and how they make it into those coffee bags and to the roasters. And we're going to talk about how they're roasted and the different methods. Now, just to give a few credits of where I got my research from this week, and please, if this sparked a curiosity, go check it out for yourself. The sites I referenced for this week are one's the coffeeuniverse.com. The other one is the coffee-statistics.com. The third one is the Ely Cafe podcast. There's actually a podcast, very informative, that you can find if you go to iTunes and go to the music store and type in Ely Cafe, or even just type in coffee. It'll come up on the search there. It's the Ely Cafe podcast, very informative. And the last one was the Honey Brothers Coffee website, which I'm actually going to review their mocha latte here in a few minutes. So, yes, if you have any questions, if it sparked curiosity, you're saying, Nathan, how did they do this part? Or, how high were the goats jumping when Caldy found his goats, high on caffeine? Send in an email at bestmochalatte, all one word, at podomatic.com, or you can go on the website for this podcast and leave a comment there in the comment section, which is bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. And there's also a call-in line, and the number is there on the website, and you can call in and leave a voicemail. Just make sure to identify yourself and say where you're calling from. I always enjoy hearing from you guys. Now, back to the coffee scene in Louisville for this week. The coffee scene. Five more places. Seattle's Best at the Borders downtown. This is just a few blocks away from our venue this week. I wrote here that it was inside a bookstore, Borders the bookstore. I wrote here, Seattle's Best is Louisville's Worst. Too much milk. can hardly taste the terrible espresso, and crappy chocolate rounded out the drink. So it was served out to go cup, but they did ask on the whipped cream. So I gave them a 2.6 for this week. So very bad representation by the Seattle's best brand, which is actually owned by Starbucks, in case you didn't know that. Next up is Highland Coffee Company. Now, as I said, among the three local independent chains, which is the Honey Brothers and Highland Coffee and the Java Brewing Company, Highland Coffee is one of them. I wrote, milk froth with chocolate in it, which is, as I say, always a no-no in latte land. But they did have a nice La Marzocco machine, which for those of you new to the espresso world, La Marzoccos are pretty nice. They're pretty much, as Josh the barista said, the Ferrari of espresso machines. But it was hard to taste the espresso. Everything was dominated by the chocolate. Served auto to go cup, but they did ask about whipped cream. So I gave them a 3.7 on their drink. Next up is the Honey Brothers, and I believe that's the correct way to say it. If it's not, someone please write in or call in and correct me on that. The Honey Brothers Coffee Company. Now, looking at their website, I was very excited about getting a mocha latte at their place. They seem to have, they go through, and if you go to their website, and they introduce the baristas and talk about the different drinks. But the drink I had, I was actually very disappointed. It was a weak drink all around. They also had a nice La Marzocco machines, so some people are dropping money on nice machines for their places. But the drink had virtually no foam. The espresso taste was good, but it was very weak. Just kind of milky, with a little chocolate taste and a little espresso. It was served auto to go cup, but they did ask on whipped cream. So I gave them 3.4. And the one I visited was the one right at the corner of the Parkway and Bardstown Road there. Right on that corner. Next up was Old Louisville Coffee House, and which was just south there. It's kind of when you start to go down 4th Street, head south on 4th Street, get into the historic neighborhood, of Louisville, and they have the Old Louisville Coffee House. Now I wrote, just one second here, crappy espresso. Someday I'll get good at making espresso. It comes with time. So the Old Louisville Coffee House, they had a decent drink, a little heavy on the chocolate, but very drinkable. It wasn't much foam on top, but the foam that was there was good. Decent espresso taste, not a bad drink, but it was served out of to-go cup, and they did ask on whipped cream. So I gave them 3.9 for their drink for this week, so not bad. And I highly recommend the Buffalo Chicken Panini. It was very good there. That coffee shop itself is actually kind of more of a college feel to it. It definitely wasn't an upscale feel, but definitely had a lot of local flavor, and I think that, you know, that's their main customer base. So very cozy place to sit and drink coffee, and had Wi-Fi and everything. Now the last place I reviewed this week was the Coffee Crossing, and it was in New Albany, Indiana, which, as I said before, is kind of in the Louisville metro area. And their drink wasn't too exciting. They had it was more milky and sweet than anything else. I put almost too sweet. Decent foam, sweet chocolate, hardly any espresso taste. It was almost hot chocolate. I mean, almost tasted like hot chocolate, which, if I wanted to drink hot chocolate, you know, that's what I would have ordered. So I was looking for more espresso taste, and they were served auto to go cup. But they did ask on whipped cream. So I wrote, if you like hot chocolate, try this out. Because it's what I put here, but it's not mocha latte material. Yeah, so I gave them a 2.8. So they still fared better than Seattle's best, which was as I said, Seattle's best is Louisville's worst for this week. So that wraps up the coffee scene in Louisville this week. Coming up, before next week, what did you do, you listeners out there around the world, what did you do for Elephant Appreciation Day? Did you give your elephant some extra loving? I'm going to put a picture up this week of what I did for Elephant Appreciation Week, but you have to check out I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to check out the website to see it, which is the bestmochalatte.podomatic.com, and you'll be able to see what I'm talking about there. So for next week, coming up, we're going to be, and we actually got a split week coming up this week. When I say split week and circus talk, that means that we play two towns in 1 week. So that means less off days for Circus Boy, less days to rest the chops, and more days I have to work. But, you know, I'm working for a living, and I can't complain about that. Not at all. So next week up is Canton and Toledo, Ohio. We're playing both those. Looking forward to seeing the grandparents and some more relatives in Canton area there. And then from coming attractions from there, we head up to Lake Placid, New York, and then Portland, Maine, and then we're over in Syracuse. So we're definitely going to be hitting the Northeast. It's actually going to be quite chilly. It's been getting chilly here this week. It's actually, looking at the thermometer, it's 58 degrees tonight. So it's you got to put on your coat, your jacket, if you're going to go outside. So next week, Kent and Toledo, Ohio, and then part two in the Bean to Bowl series. I'm going to start calling it the B2B. That's easier to say. B2B series. Part two is next week, and the unexpected is next week, because in this podcast you should always expect the unexpected, because it's the circus, so you never know what may happen. My Flying Dutchman may be, who knows? I was afraid it was going to float away this way with all the float away this week with all the rain. So it could be anything. We could have an interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger next week, although he hasn't been returning my calls, so I doubt that will happen. So yes, and then last off, before we go, new music this week by Mod Dog. It's very, very relaxing. I would recommend a nice, maybe something smooth, maybe brewing a French press Ethiopian blend, something smooth, and just sit back, enjoy, relax this music that Mod Dog calls Exit One. And as always, until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.